Acts chapter 14 this morning. We go back in the book of Acts. We've got away for a couple of Sundays for a friend day and for Mother's Day. But we'll be back in the end of chapter number 14 today. Chapter number 14, book of Acts. We're going to read verses 20. I had it down here. Let me see what I want. The words I want to get together here. Right here. Yes, 21 through 23. That's it. 21 through 23 is what I want to read this morning. 21 through 23, Acts 14. We'll look at this passage together. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's Word. And we'll read these responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses 21 and 23. Please join me on verse 22 there. Our Bible says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Let's pray before the special this morning. Dear Father, we ask you, please, in Jesus' name, to open our hearts, our ears, our minds to your word. I pray that you'll have access to our inner person today. Lord, there's a lot of cares going on in the world around us. There's a lot of men in this place whose jobs are pressing and demanding, and even projects at home await people in this room. But I pray for a little bit, just these minutes this morning, we would put those things aside, think about the Word of God and the Word that you have for us today. Bless the song and the message to follow is my prayer in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
The stars dance with anticipation, the trembling clouds, they know it's time, musicians are tuning their instruments, and the singers are humming. Church
this morning. Thank you for that. I enjoyed it. All right, I want to speak this morning on the subject, Mission Accomplished, as we come to the end. It really has nothing to do with the program up here, Launch Into Space, but I actually thought about that after I walked in and realized the title of the message, and I say a little bit about space here at the beginning. Mission Accomplished, as Paul and Barnabas finished their first missionary journey and returned to the church that sent them out to preach the gospel. Let's look at it this morning together, and let's bow in prayer as we get into the message. Now, dear Father, thank you so much for the anticipation of being called to heaven. We await that time when Jesus will come and descend in the clouds. The trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with you. We look forward to that day. Thank you, Lord, that many in this room are going. If there's one or more in this room who are not prepared for that day, I pray that, Lord, they'd listen intently this morning, that your Spirit would speak to the heart about the matter of salvation, being born into God's family. Help the rest of us, Lord, to listen intently as well. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in these moments, in Jesus' name, amen. The culmination of any space mission includes a successful reentry through the atmosphere into or onto the Earth. In the old days of Gemini and Apollo, you remember Gemini and Apollo space missions? When I was a boy, the reentry took place in the ocean. Remember that? Splashdown. And then the boats were there and they'd go out and pop the hatch and the astronauts would come out. Now, of course, the shuttle lands like an airplane on a runway out in Florida or California, or a couple of different places, I think, in the States, depending on the weather. The shuttle lands and the astronauts are whisked away to recover from the excursion and for the data to be assimilated and so forth and so on. Their mission accomplished. That's what I want to talk about this morning, but we're not talking about astronauts. We're talking about a couple of missionary preacher, evangelist men, and a party of folks that were sent out by a church to preach the gospel. They made a great big circle, and now they're headed back to the home church. In the closing verses of chapter 14, we have mission accomplished as far as Paul and his missionary journey goes. He and Barnabas and the rest of the party are on their way to that church. They're returning to the church at Antioch, the church that sent them out. In verse number 26, you'll see that. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They were sent out, just like we sent out the Oswardi family over to Oriel, Russia, and we're sending out Ben and Ashley to Madagascar, sending out Jason and Heather to the Bahamas, and others, hope is down the road. This is what the church at Antioch did. They sent Paul and Barnabas out. Now look at verse number 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. This matter of missionaries coming home to the home church and reporting is biblical. It's exactly what Paul and Barnabas did here to the church at Antioch. They gave a report concerning their missionary journey. Now, their journey took them as far as Derbe. Derbe, D-E-R-B-E. And then, when they got to Derbe, they turned around and they started home. And when they started home, they retraced their steps through Lystra and through Iconium and through Antioch of Pisidia. They were headed home. And don't you know that these men wanted to get home, to be home? I know how I am if I travel out of town to a church to speak somewhere. Man, the last few hours of that meeting, the last night of that meeting, I have to make myself pay attention and give my heart and give my best to the message, because I'm like a horse to the barn. You ever been on a horse that was turned to the barn? They've been gone for a while, buddy. They got one thing on their mind. Get to the barn. And that's how I am. I want to get home. Amen. And I'm sure that's how they were. Anxious, ready to get home. But they were not in too big a hurry to tend to some important work that needed to be done before their mission could be accomplished. And these men were on a mission. The mission was the Great Commission that Jesus gave before he returned to heaven. It was a threefold mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. If those people that get saved, baptize those people who get saved. And then take those baptized believers and organize them into a church and teach them how to obey God's principles. That was the Great Commission. And that's what Paul and Barnabas had been doing. Hey, folks, look, this was not just a number-crunching time for Paul. This mission was not simply to pad statistics. This mission was done in obedience to carrying out the Great Commission that Jesus gave to the church. Now, the people in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch had been saved and baptized. And Paul was passing through these places anyway, so he wanted to check up on these new folks, check up on these converts, you see. And he did that. These were people who were Gentiles, who had turned their back on the false gods of their false religion and had embraced Jesus Christ as the only way to eternal life. And friend, I don't know where you are spiritually this morning. Now, if you have been born again or if you haven't been born again, that's Bible terminology. Born again means being born into God's family. And there's a lot of things you can do religiously in this world, but they will not get you to heaven. A lot of things you can do religiously. They will not get you to heaven. Getting to heaven is accomplished by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. And in simple faith, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you're born into God's family. You become a child of God. And that's what happened in these places. Antioch, of Pisidia, and Iconium, and Lystra. And these people have been saved. It was new to them. This whole thing was new to them. And so Paul wanted to check up on these folks on his way back to Antioch in Syria. Now, I see three C's. I see three C's that Paul did here when he checked up on these new converts. Three C's that are good for every born-again believer. Three C's in this passage, good for every born-again believer. Now, Paul was personally interested in these churches, and he was, of course, personally interested in these people who've been saved. And so here he went. Here he went back to these towns. I want you to see these three C's this morning. First of all, I want you to see the word confirming. Look at the word confirming in verse number 22. See that? Confirming the souls of the disciples. Now, that word confirming means to support further, to strengthen. See, anytime you build something, you have to build into it the proper support to strengthen it. I'm talking about physical building. You know, Brother Woodward and I have built many deer stands over the years together because we get to hunt together. And we built the ladder platform stands. And especially if we're putting a permanent stand in a permanent location. Now you have your climbers and so forth that are, you know, mobile. You can move from tree to tree. But occasionally we find a good spot. We put a permanent stand in the woods, and we built the ladder platform stand. Ladder made out of you know, treated lumber and a platform, and we'd get it up there and screw the back of that thing to a tree, a good sized tree, so it wouldn't be silhouetted by the animals. And then we would build braces because he and I are both a couple of big fellas. And you want something sturdy. You're 16 feet up in the air, 16, 18 feet up in the air. You want something sturdy underneath you when you're 16, 18 feet in the air. And so we'd build braces on those things. The reason we built those braces on there was to support the tree stand so that it wouldn't sway from side to side. Nothing I hate worse than being in a deer stand that's not level and that's not braced. Man, you're 16, 20 feet in the air and you're twisting around like that. That's crazy. That's nonsense. And so we always built supports in those things. We would brace those stands so they wouldn't sway. And then we built the support into the stand. Now, once a person gets saved, listen carefully. Once a person gets saved, the goal is not just to get people saved, get them baptized. It's okay, God bless you now. So we can add another notch on our belt. That's not the purpose. The goal is to help them build a Christian life. Build a Christian life. Build a Christian life. You see, build a walk with God personally. Build a strong marriage if they're married. Build a strong family if they're going to have children. Build some strong character. Build some strong work ethic. And by the way, a lot of times you get folks saved who already have a strong character and a strong work ethic. And buddy, those folks will grow like crazy for the Lord. Because, brother, you know what living for God is? It boils down to W-O-R-K. It's work. It's work. And so you got to walk with God. You got a marriage and you got a family and you got a job and you got all these things in your life. And the goal is to build a strong, strong life. I remember when we built this building. We built it. I remember when they built the building. We had it built. I remember when they built the concrete walls out here. Now, Amish guys came and put the walls up. Remember that? The concrete blocks. The other guys came and did the bricks. The Amish guys did the concrete blocks. And, of course, the concrete blocks, you know, they're hollow, two holes in there. You don't even know what the concrete blocks look like. And they offset them. And so what you got is, you got every so often, you got a thing that goes all the way from the top of the wall all the way to the footings. And the cement truck came in, had a big old long hose like a snake on it. And they had the truck out here. They took that hose up, and about every third or fourth hole, Dennis, I can't remember, about every third or fourth hole, they filled that whole thing up with concrete from the top of the wall all the way to the footings on which the blocks were resting. All the way from the top, all the way down. Now, those walls are 19 feet high, I think. 19 feet in the air. And they filled them with concrete all the way down. Every three or four holes like that. What did they do that for? To strengthen the walls. To strengthen the walls. I remember Mike Crane. Mike Crane is a karate evangelist. And he's a crazy man. He lays on a bed of nails, and they put a concrete thing on. He's on his a concrete slab on his stomach, and he's laying on a bed of nails. And somebody takes a sledgehammer and bam, and breaks that concrete slab while he's laying on the bed of nails. And he knows karate and all. And he's a good preacher. I know Mike Crane. I've known him since I got saved. I met him after I got saved. Close friends with him down in Tennessee. So I had him come to Iowa for a special occasion. And he called me. He said, "Now, brother," he always twisting his head. He said, "Now, brother," he's a big guy. He said, "Now, you got to build me a concrete slab." He said, "You got to run rebar in that concrete slab from one end to the other." And I'm thinking to myself, he wants this thing to break. How is that thing going to break? I said, "Mike, you want rebar in this thing from one end to the other?" To make a way to pick it up. He said, yeah, just put it right in there. I said, "Okay." So I went to the concrete place. I said, I need a slab of concrete this long by this wide. I need rebar running through the middle. I said, "What are you going to do with that?" I said, "I got a guy coming. He's going to lay on a bed of nails, and the guy's going to take a sledgehammer and bust this thing." He said, "Son," he said, "this thing ain't going to bust." I said, "Well, I don't think so either, but that's what he said. So go ahead and do it." So he did. And I was out at Westchester with the kids' services. And Mike was in town with the adults, and he was going to do his demonstration and then preach, and then run up to where the kids were and do another demonstration for all the kids and teenagers. So we're having the service out there. I never forget this long as I live. He comes in, boy, his head's just twitching from side to side. He's pretty worked up. "Brother, brother, you almost killed me. Brother, you almost killed me." And I guess he got on that bed of nails, and they had Kurt Powers, the strongest guy in the church. I take that sledgehammer, wham! That thing didn't bust, just chipped. He said, "Hit it again." He's laying on the nails. "Hit it again." Boom! Thing didn't bust. You got ladies out there going, "Hit it again." I mean, this is a legitimate bed of nails he's laying on. I mean, nails, sharp nails. You know. And so, boy, and now Kurt's getting embarrassed. You know, the thing's not breaking. So, man, he's that thing didn't break. He said, get me up. So, he had 28 nail punctures in his back. He said, "You almost killed me." I said, "Mike, you told me to run rebar from the end." And he said, "I meant around the ends like this." I said, "I didn't think it." I said, "Mike, you better send a picture with what you want." Amen. You know, now why didn't that 28 nail holes. You know what he did that night? He chopped a watermelon off my stomach. And I was a little bit concerned. He did that to Michael Jordan down in North Carolina. I walked up there and I had a songbook under my shirt. And they made me take it out. Ben was a little boy, and he got down on the floor. He wouldn't even watch. He got down on the floor and hit his eyes. I said, "I'm already taking that thing and chopping that watermelon off my stomach." Revenge. I thought, oh, my stomach split wide open. But the reason that concrete block didn't break was because it was supported. It was braced. They supported it. Had rebar through there. You're not going to bust that, okay? Now, that's what the word confirming means. It means support. It means strength. And you see, believers, hear me now. I don't care how long you've been saved. 2 weeks or 25 years. Believers need some concrete.
Believers need some rebar. Believers need some bracing. Believers need supporting. Believers need strengthening. And I want to tell you something, that's exactly what Paul did. He went by and he confirmed these souls. He tried to support them and brace them and strengthen them. Let me say this morning, my friend, the best place to get your strength and your support and your strengthening is at a good old-fashioned local church that preaches the Word of God, man. Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning service at 11, Sunday night at 6:30, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Oh, Dr. Lee Robertson down at Highland Park used to preach three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, I don't need that much Bible. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Videotapes and little lessons you can do in your home are good, but they will never substitute for the old-fashioned teaching and preaching of this book right here. I saw an article in the Chicago Tribune this week on home churches in Chicago and the big movement now, home church and little cell groups, and got a video of a good preacher, so let's put it in and watch it instead of being in church. It'll never replace church. You see, I don't care how good an idea you think you've got, you can't improve on the Lord. Now, folks, stop. Come on, you can't improve on God's plan. What in the world are we doing? Who are we to think that we can come up with something that improves on God's plan? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the less. As you see the day approaching, that's how some church members interpret that verse. So much the less. I think the Bible says so much the more. Now, you're going to either take God and His plan and what He said works, or you're going to venture out on your own to do your own thing, and you may be doing okay right now, but friend, if you might live on this planet for another 20 or 25 or 30 years, and time will take, you can't improve on God's plan. You can't. I talked to a fellow in this church, if I called his name, everybody here loves him, everybody here respects him, he is a beloved brother in this church, and he said to me, he said, brother, I tell you what, he said, I have learned over these years, you cannot keep your heart strong and like it ought to be apart from an old-fashioned church service. You can't do it. And I say amen to that. And he's not a preacher. He's just a good folk, just a good man in the church. A beloved man. Now, I'm going to say this. Summertime is here soon. I mean, Memorial Day weekend is next week, and then summertime, kids get out of school, schedules change, vacation mindset, less structured, the temptation to be at the lake, the park, the game somewhere. Let me encourage you. I don't care if you've been saved 2 weeks, 2 months, 25 years, or 60 years, stay faithful to the old-fashioned preaching of God's Word. Stay faithful. That's where you get it. That's where you get strengthening. That's where you get confirmed. That's where you get reestablished. That's where you... See, if you're teaching the Bible, Dad, to your children, that's where your children hear the things that the pastor says. Boy, oh man, Dad and the pastor are on the same page in this thing. Amen. Amen. It works. I know it works. I know it works. I've seen it work in my own home. I know it works. I know it works. You stay faithful, confirm. I mean, that's what Paul did. He strengthened these believers. He stabilized these believers. He supported, embraced these believers. Now, look, you know, what you're going to have to do is just keep your eyes on this book. Keep your eyes on God. There are always going to be examples of folks who don't take this seriously. They think they got a better plan than Hebrews 10:25. But there is no better plan than God's plan. Just keep your eyes on God. Stay faithful. Amen. Stay faithful. You won't. I promise. You say, every time I come, my nerves will tingle. No, every time you come, nerves won't tingle. In fact, sometimes you'll even go home and say, man, good night. I bombed this morning in Sunday school. I just laid an egg in the Sunday school class this morning. I got talking about this and talking about that. And got off the subject and talking about this. We didn't accomplish a whole lot of nothing. We had a good time. That's how it is sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. God will bless you. God will bless you. He'll bless you for making an effort three times at the house of God. Three times. I mean, there to hear the preaching from God's Word, the teaching from God's Word, confirming. You said, and I understand, especially when you get saved later in life, man, it's so different. It's such a change from everything you've ever done. Oh, gracious. I'll tell you what, you pay the price. God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. Confirming. I got to hustle. Look at number two here, the word continue. Look at the word continue in verse number 22. The three C's in this thing, good for every believer, confirming the souls of the disciples. And then the Bible says, exhorting them to continue in the faith. You see the word continue? It means stay in the same place. Stay in the same place. Continue. Now I want you to notice what he said here. Continue what? Where? Stay in the same place in the faith. Is he talking about salvation? No, you don't work at staying in salvation. Once you're saved, you're in. Amen. God takes care of keeping you saved. Isn't that a blessing? Sure it is. Boy, I don't worry about that. I don't worry about that. I don't want to. That doesn't mean, and by the way, because I believe that, makes me more concerned about that I live right. Not less concerned. Amen. Continue in the faith, he says. Once you are saved, God keeps your salvation for you. What does he mean here, Pastor? To continue in the faith. Look at me, listen carefully. We'll get it and get gone. The faith is a reference to that body of truth. That body of belief called the faith. It is more than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The faith is that body of belief. That body of truth. It's referred to as the faith. Hold your finger here and go over to the little book of Jude. Quickly now. If you find Revelation, last book in the New Testament, back up to your left there from the book of Revelation to the book of Jude. Back up from Revelation to the book of Jude. One chapter in the book of Jude, written right before you get to Revelation. Just 25 verses in this one little book. But I want you to see verse 3 here. You'll see the term, the faith, again. Look at verse number 3. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." There it is again. "Which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, folks, if you look at this verse carefully, let me give you this a little Bible study, but not much of one. But just look, you see the difference between salvation and the faith. Look at what he said. He said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Jude said, "I wanted to write to you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." That's salvation. That's the gospel. But look at what he said. He said, "That's what I wanted to write about, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you about something else, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." So the faith is not just salvation. The faith is the body of truth. The faith is the body of belief that makes up what we call the faith. Listen, watch me this morning. The faith alters your thinking. The faith alters your behavior. The faith alters your character, your life, your home, your marriage, your work is built on this body of truth, shaped by this body of truth called the faith. The faith. The faith. The faith. And Paul said, continue in it. Continue in it. Now, I want you to see something here in the book of Jude. Look at what he said. Jude said that the faith was once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered. This body of truth was delivered by Jesus and the apostles and one or two more men who were writers of the New Testament. Matthew through Revelation for you and me makes up the body of faith. Don't misread me. Don't say that I'm saying the Old Testament is not relevant. All the Old Testament's good for us. But especially as New Testament believers, Matthew through Revelation makes up the faith, the body of faith, the teaching, the body of truth. And we are to continue in this faith. Continue in this truth. Now, listen very carefully. The body of truth that has been handed to us called the faith. We're to stay in the same place. We are not to alter or change or take away from or add to the faith. We are to continue in what was once delivered. Matthew, it began with Matthew. It ended about 90 A.D., The Gospel of Matthew through Revelation is the body of truth specifically for this New Testament age. Now look at me. The body of truth, the body of faith is complete. It's done. You can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. Let me be more plain. That means that the Council of Trent is a bunch of nonsense. That means the Council of Nicene is a bunch of nonsense. That means that all of these versions that men have sat down and tried to alter and change and rewrite the New Testament is a bunch of nonsense. The Bible says that the body of faith was once delivered to the saints. Once delivered. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into this big, long study with you. But friend, your King James New Testament was translated out of the Textus Receptus Greek text. It was the majority text, the received text. That's why it's called the Textus Receptus. And our English Bible, if you got a King James in your lap this morning, came out of that Greek text. All the other New Testaments came out of the corrupt Westcott and Hort text. They changed things. They altered things. They left things out. They bothered the deity of Christ. They bothered the blood of Christ. They changed the Word of God. Now, I am supposed to continue in the faith, in the same body of truth that Jesus and the disciples gave. I'm supposed to stay in that body of truth. I'm not supposed to alter from that. I'm not supposed to change from that. You say, well, how do you know that what Paul and James and Peter and John and all these writers who took up a pen and the Spirit of God gave them the New Testament. How do you know it's the same? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. Back up there for a few pages. Keep going back to your left. Everybody with me this morning? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to need five guys. Let me have Curtis, Nicholas, Tyler, Austin, and Brother Caleb, since you're up here, okay? All right, now look here what he said. All right, come on up, fellas. Let's line up across. I'll get you. Just stay right over there, Brother Caleb, if you'll come here. We're going to let Brother Caleb be Paul here, okay? Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 2 there? Okay, here we go. Now look at what Paul wrote. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says here, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Now, Paul said, "Timothy, I've taught you a lot of things," okay? So let's put Caleb, Brother Caleb's going to be Paul. Come here, Nicholas. We'll let you be Timothy. This man right here is writing to this man. And he's saying, I taught you many things. You've heard many things from me among other witnesses. Now, let me stop and say this. Logic tells you, where did Paul get it? Paul had to get it from somebody. Okay? So you're going to let this person here be here. Now, this person teaches Paul. Paul teaches Timothy. Look at what he said here in verse 2. He said the same thing. He said, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So he told Timothy, he said, you find some faithful men and you teach them. And then what does he say? Those faithful men will do what? Teach others. You got the one who taught Paul. You got Paul. You got Timothy. You got the faithful men. By the way, when Paul writes this book to Timothy, Timothy is a pastor. He's pastoring the church at Ephesus. We have a book in our New Testament called Ephesians. That's the book that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus where Timothy pastored. So somebody told Paul. Paul said, Timothy, you take people in your church and you teach them. And then one of these days, they'll be able to teach them. But did you see the two words I skipped over here? Look at it. Look at the two words in the middle of the verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the what? The same. The same. Don't change it, Timothy. Don't alter it. Don't take away from it. Don't add anything to it. Pass it down just like you received it. Continue in the faith. The same faith. The same body of truth that Matthew through Revelation teaches us. Don't alter it. Don't change it. Don't devise new things. Don't come up with new this and new that. Stay with that same body of truth. The same body of faith that has been handed down from generation to generation to generation. You stay in that. Continue in that. Continue in that. Continue in it. That's exactly what Paul's telling these fellows. Continue. Thank you, fellas, very much. Thank you for that this morning. Continue in it. The same. The body of faith. All right? That's what he told these believers. Now, folks, look. Again, you've got a good King James Bible that came out of the perfect, the right Textus Receptus Greek text. You've got a body of truth that this New Testament teaches you. I've got the same body of truth here. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Stay in it. It's good. It was good for your great-grandfather. It'll be good for you. If it was good in 1925, it'll be good in 2006. It's the same body of truth. Continue, continue, continue. That's why our church only uses the King James Bible. That's the only Bible taught from in Sunday school. It's the only Bible preached from in this pulpit. It's the only Bible quoted on our material. It's the only Bible passed out on any literature that we use. It's the only Bible because I believe, as many others do, that that is the Word of God. Does it contain the Word of God? It is the Word of God. Matthew to Revelation. If you haven't done the study, you need to get Frank Logsdon's letter and read it. It's very, very important. It is the Word of God. You won't go wrong staying with the good old King James Bible. Matthew through Revelation, that's the body of faith. Stay right in it. Stay right in it. Stay in it. Continue in it. Let me give you the third thing. We'll go home. We're done. He said commending. In verse number 23, back in Acts 14 now, he said commending. He said confirming. He said continue. And then he said commending. In verse number 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Now, look, you know what commended means? Okay, let me use you one more time. The word commended means placed alongside. Placed alongside. Now, who did he say he commended them to? Commended them to whom? The Lord. You know what Paul told those believers? He said, stay close to Jesus. Stay close to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Talk with the Lord. Let the Lord speak to your heart. You speak to the Lord's heart. Keep your heart right with the Lord. Don't let the pipeline get plugged between the Lord and you. He said, what you want to do is you want to put your eyes on Him and just stay right alongside Jesus. Stay right alongside Jesus. Huh? You know what Jesus is? Thank you, Brother Caleb. He's a proven friend who will never let you down. Now, people will disappoint you. People will disappoint you incredibly. But Jesus never fails. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you. One who will not fail. Now, I will say this. I love people. People are a great help. People have been a great help to me in my life. I am not of the suspicious. I trust folks. And I think I'm the better man because of it. People have been a great help to me. A great encouragement, great examples. But you hear me, eventually every human being is going to disappoint you somewhere. Look, they don't make a human being that won't disappoint you. They won't disappoint you. But there's one who will never disappoint you. And that's the Lord. And you know what Paul told these new converts? He said, good for all believers. He said, tell you what to do. He said, you just get close to the Lord. Get right along beside Him. I had to learn this lesson early in my being saved life, early in Christian life. Because the two men that I just, when I first got saved at age 18, the pastor who preached to me and the man who ran the boys' home took me in. I worshiped the ground they walked on. The pastor had to resign because of a 3-year affair with a woman in the church. When I was in Bible college, I got that news. I was shocked. I was numb. Do you understand? You sit and listen to a man, and you love, and he's what? It's like a punch in my gut. And then the man who won me to Christ, the man who took me in, goes crazy on painkillers, robs pharmacies at gunpoint, ends up in jail. The man who took me in. The man who brought me to Christ. What? The best man in my wedding. I hadn't even been saved 2 years when this happened. This little bitty old Christian convert, just young little guy. 18, 19 years old. And those guys, I worshiped them. And I'll tell you what, I really thought to myself, you know what? If they can't make it, I ain't going to survive. But then I remembered the middle verse in the Bible. Mike talked to us. Mike made us memorize it. Psalm 118:8. It is better to put trust in the Lord. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, did it say it was wrong to put confidence in man? It didn't say that. Because I have confidence in men. I hope you have confidence in men. I hope coming to this church you have some confidence in me as a pastor. It's not wrong to have confidence in a man, but look at me. It's better. It's better to walk right beside Christ. It's better to walk beside Jesus. It's better to get close to Him. You know what? Because He'll never leave you or forsake you, and He'll never fail you. It's better. It's better to be with Him. Walk right beside Him. And the old songwriter wrote, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's elusive dreams. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. It's placed right along beside Him. Nothing between me and Him. That's the best place to be. glory. No doubt. Confirmed, continued, commended. Strengthened, stay in the same faith place in the faith. Stay right next to Jesus. Amen. And when you go home, you'll have lived a very productive Christian life. I hope that you're saved. If you're not saved this morning, then you need to listen carefully the next couple minutes as we close this service. What do you mean by being saved, Brother Angel? Do you know where you spend it? If you were driving down Highway 50 like John Hanks was yesterday morning at 11:30, and all of a sudden you didn't feel good and you lost consciousness and you were ushered out of this world, would you do as Dr. Hanks did? Would you open your eyes in heaven? You say, I don't know where I don't know what happened to me. Then that's what you need to know this morning. In case God decides it's time. And you never know. I see Gloria Palmateer sitting out here. So glad she's back with us this morning. Had four bypass surgery. Three. She's older than Brother John. John's 58. Why does a Gloria Palmateer live and a John Hanks pass away? Our times are in His hands. Our times are in His hands. She hasn't had her appointment yet. He had his appointment yesterday. Whew, mercy. Are you ready? Are you ready? Where are you going? Meet Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask you a question. Who says, Pastor, I'm ready to meet Jesus? I know where I'm going. Eternity is heaven for me. Has no doubt about it. I'm saved, and I know it. If that's your testimony, would you lift your hand, please, as a sign of it this morning? Thank you. You may take your hand down. I appreciate your honesty. Across the room, in different places, a handful of folks could not raise their hand. Now, I appreciate your honesty. I really do. Because it's no sense to lie to yourself. No sense to lie to yourself. You can't be helped if you lie to yourself. Who said, Brother Angel, I don't know. If my number comes up, I don't know where I'm going. 28, 38, 58, 78. I don't know where I'm going. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning? Put it right up to me. Pray for you. I don't know where I'll spend eternity. I don't know where I'm going when I die. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know that I'm saved. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Side to side, front to back. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Now, just a moment when we give the invitation, Brother Caleb will be standing right down here. Some other men across the front. If you're not sure that you're saved, please, why don't you come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Man, don't miss the opportunity to find out. Don't miss the opportunity to hear the plan of salvation. Don't miss that. Don't leave with your eternal destiny up in the air. Please. I invite you to come in just a moment. When the music begins, I'm going to pray for you. Anybody that needs to be saved. Who's here as a pastor? I'm already saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Not been baptized in obedience to Christ since I've been saved. Right? Confirmed. Continue. Commended. That means strengthened. Continue in the same faith, the body of truth that we've been handed. Don't alter it. Don't change it. And then commended. Placed right alongside Jesus Christ. Ladies, I hope you got the song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior, this morning. You're walking beside Him today. Have you distanced yourself from Him? He never moves. We distance ourselves from the Lord. And things get into our hearts and lives that displease Him. Not faithful to Him. He's the dearest friend I ever had. And yours too. He never fails. Dear Father, speak to the hearts this morning of everybody in this room. I pray, Lord, for anybody that doesn't know that they're saved, Lord, their eternal destiny is up in the air, uncertain. I pray, God, that Your Spirit would draw them to Jesus this morning. And then I pray for those, if anybody here needs to be baptized, I pray for believers who, Lord, You spoke to their heart during the message. I pray that they'd respond. The Lord decide, you know what? I got to get strengthened. I need to be in the place where the Word of God is preached and get strong and continue in the faith and walk close beside the Savior. Speak to our hearts today. Draw us to a good decision for Christ is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? They're playing that song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. If you're not sure that you're saved, let me invite you to come this morning. Let somebody, one of these men or one of these ladies, take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Oh, that's it. Would you come today? Would you come today? Let me invite you to come. Trust the Lord as your Savior. Not trying to make you a Baptist. Not trying to, oh, by joining the church. I'm talking about knowing that you're going to heaven. Knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come this morning? While we wait. Would you come this morning? Come trust the Lord. Come take that first step of obedience and believer's baptism. Come. Express to the Lord your desire. Be close to Him. Be strengthened. Confirmed. Would you come? Would you come? Let the Lord work in your heart between. Clear. Open. Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right beside you. Place there. Would you come?